The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Johnny, that's better than most. That is better than most. Better than most!
Better Than Most is a regular feature of The Business of Giving, examining the best places to work among social businesses and nonprofit organizations.
And for this edition, we took a trip up to Massachusetts and to the campus of the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. We'll begin with their president and director, Mark Abbott, and then you will hear from some of the other members of the team.
Being out on a research ship, you have to work together. You get physicists, chemists, biologists, and that's just inherent in the DNA of ocean science. But at Woods Hole Oceanographic, since we're all focused on that, we're not doing undergraduate teaching, we're not part of a large university that has other activities, be it engineering or liberal arts, all good things, but we're really focused on understanding the ocean as a system that really empowers a lot more team building, and because to attack the science, you've got to all work together.
I think that those kinds of activities happen a lot at the institution, where we have the opportunity to go out and do a very unique scientific expedition to address a unique scientific problem, often something happening in the environment that the public is very aware of. And I think that's something very unique here, because we have such a large scientific staff, that we have the integration of engineering and science and support from policy to education to communications, that all of that can really come together and help us mobilize and quickly get out and do really novel science.
The thing that makes it possible to cross these boundaries at HUI are simply the fact that it's a very open and collaborative culture. If you walk down any of the hallways here, the doors are always open. You feel very welcome in the other departments. Again, I feel like I can walk across the street, poke my head into anyone's lab, and there will be someone there who is excited to talk to me about whatever they're working on. And I don't know if it's the fact that architecturally HUI has been built so that it's easy to go into everybody's lab, but you walk down the halls in Bigelow, right, and people are standing in the stairways having conversations, or you can easily pop in and talk to anybody.
I think one of the reasons it's so easy to collaborate at HUI is because there's so few rules at HUI. I came here after working 10 years other places and was sort of shocked to find out that no one was going to tell me what to do. I came in not as a senior person with some responsibility, and there was nobody telling me how to run my projects, nobody who I was particularly reporting to other than did it get done and did I please the sponsor. And so if I want to talk to somebody in another department and seek more work, there's nobody telling me not to find that interesting work. There's nobody, in fact, the people will encourage me. You get credit for doing that.
And the first thing they all said was, it's incredibly welcoming. People are kind and nice, and they take you in right away and ask you questions and make you feel like you're going to be taken care of. And in fact, in our lab, we had a sign over our computers that said, that read, take care of your job, take care of yourself, take care of each other.
We don't put out something that we feel isn't vetted. I mean, the scientists, they go through a vetting process with their peers, you know, out at conferences, you know, where they're in this sort of culture of, you know, you put something out there and you have to be prepared to have someone else question it. And then as a communicator, I mean, we are vetting. We do not put anything out that hasn't been vetted. Sometimes 10, 15 times. You should see the version numbers on some of the communications that we're putting out. So I think, you know, there's a lot of wow to that, you know, that sort of like we are here to explore this place, try to better understand it, and to communicate it. so we can be better stewards.
My favorite thing about working here at HUI is that I do not have a boss. So I technically have mentors that guide me throughout the process of trying to reach tenure, and I have commitments that I have to go to. I go to meetings, I sit on committees, but every single day I can come into my own lab and prioritize how I'm going to use my time. And if I have a new idea, I can make time to test that idea out in my lab. And it is incredibly, that sense of freedom is liberating. You know, you can come up with new ideas every single day, work with your team, and try to discover something new. And I don't think you'd have that at a different type of institution where someone is overseeing every little thing that you're doing and micromanaging your time. And I really value that here.
It is this long-term research institution. So it allows you to really sort of tackle some of the big questions that you want to get to. And so that kind of gets the basically back to that other word, the flexibility. So you have a real flexibility to kind of choose what you want to do, what question you think is really important, and how to best basically tackle that. So how do you really get the job done? And you get a lot of flexibility in that. And that gives you access to doing stuff that's really rapid, gives you access to the sort of the family support that you need here as well, too, so you have a lot of flexibility.
To go to the quaint little restaurants, including the Captain Kidd and the coffee shop, and also to take the ferry over to Martha's Vineyard. So it's very much a place that people want to come and see, that tourists really value. And we're lucky to be able to work in a place that everybody wants to come to. And I think that free parking perk is fantastic on weekends and evenings in particular, when you also want to share the environment and try to get into some of these busy, bustling restaurants that we are able to park right there for free, whereas many people have to park several miles down the road and take buses into our town.
The other thing that I like about that, working on cool stuff with great people, I can work with academics and scientists on a broad range of different problems outside of my own discipline. And I can also find engineers to help me bring ideas to life. You know, you're not doing this work in a vacuum at HUI. There's a whole group of electrical, mechanical, and software engineers who you can hire onto your projects to help you implement things. And you can have admin support to help manage large projects and to go after grants.
Poor behavior should be followed by no one will work with you, and you don't, if you're on soft money, you don't have money to spend. You don't have a job. Aaron won't hire you if you're a jerk. And that's really part and parcel of working at HUI, is that if you're a bad actor, you get a reputation, and you usually don't last that long. It's not entirely true. There are exceptions, but to a large extent, the feedback you get is kind of direct and kind of monetary, and you don't get interesting work. You don't get to work with good people. And for many of us, that working with the good people and having interesting work is a primary reason for coming to HUI. So behave well, those people will want to work with you. You can work on great things together, and it's not so much a disciplinary thing, it's a very positive thing. You form good teams that way.
We have a robust workplace climate committee and a women's committee. And quarterly, they have workshops that they call community teas. And it's a place where people come together in one of our buildings. And the last one, we had 100 people there at least. And they select a topic. So one was implicit bias, and the last one was gender equity in various tasks, whether it's in the field, the lab, or the office. And you have a paper that you read ahead of time, and then they have questions that they offer to direct the conversation. But typically, they just have a very brief introduction, and then they ask people to get into tables. So there's maybe 5 to 6 people at the table, and then they just openly talk, and they might use a question as a prompt.
I'd like to talk about my favorite perk of working at Woods Hole Oceanographic, and that's being in walking distance to the ocean. So, for example, this past summer, I challenged myself to swim in the ocean every single day. And I can't think of another place I could work where I can go and go at lunch. Sometimes I would only have 20 minutes between meetings and being busy, and I would rush down there, I would jump in the ocean. It was like instant zen, instant meditation, and I would come back and feel refreshed and just feel better about things.
In some cases, you can actually build an instrument to do things for you that are a lot more efficient than going out and grabbing a sample on your own. So the one skill that I've learned is that if you can think of it, you can probably convince someone here to build it for you, and you're going to get way more data with better precision, better accuracy, and in general, you're going to do better science.
When I was little, the job I kind of wanted was a job that I didn't have to feel like I was going to work every day. We've kind of talked about this a little bit, but this is basically the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution is a community of people that love the ocean. We just love the water. And so that's either going swimming quite often or studying the water, or bringing your dog down to the water, whatever sort of that interaction is. We really sort of like that sort of water and aquatic atmosphere. And this sort of hub down here really sort of provides that. And then that community really kind of fosters that interdisciplinary collaboration. It kind of breaks down the silos almost inherently in that we have this group of people that sort of really have a passion about the same kind of thing.
I wanted to mention another unique workplace feature here at HUI, and that is that a lot of us spend time at sea, extended periods of time, either in the field, at a coastal field station, or actually on a research vessel. Mm-hmm. Sometimes these are a couple of weeks, sometimes these are many weeks, or even a couple of months. And there are some very unique aspects of being at sea together with a group of people. There's a lot of camaraderie that develops, a lot of working together, a lot of mentoring of each other that you really can't experience day to day out at the workplace. My students call going to see a summer camp for scientists because you're with each other 24/7 and you're forced to be together.
I would like to address the question of innovation. HUI is unique in that it doesn't just foster innovation, it fosters innovation in the real world. It's not innovation for innovation's sake, but innovation for the sake of addressing very difficult environments that we encounter every day as scientists. So you have to have things that work in the open ocean, that work in the Arctic, that work in very hot and humid climates. And so the engineers here aren't solving toy problems. They're solving real problems that existing technology doesn't work for.
There's just you and the maybe 12 other people that are involved. You're going to be out there for a set number of days. It's either going to work or not work, and it's going to be a bad couple of weeks if it doesn't work. But when I think of the things I'm proudest of and happiest of at my work at HUI, they all involve making things work at sea with a bunch of people who I like being there with.
Another very exciting thing about innovation at HUI is we offer a pitch-a-thon. And last month, the technology office offered this. Four scientists and engineers had to pitch an idea, whether it's technology or data management or a battery that can last longer, withstand salt water and be underwater. They had 10 minutes to give a pitch. And the whole town was invited, which was very exciting. And I think that's very new for us. Typically, we pitch something maybe with someone down the hall or pitch something with your department. But this pitching to the whole community was very exciting. And the reward is $75,000 as startup money to then move forward with whatever your technology is or your data management is or your battery pack is.
That's basically pride in kind of trying to be the best institution in the world. It comes from all across the institution to have that. So I think, and we get that in a way through, or at least I feel I get that support through a lot of mentorship and support. So I can, like I said, easily go down the hall and ask folks, if I have a question, and we try and keep that sort of open door policy, and there's just an abundance of safety nets to kind of keep track of you and make sure you're getting, the mentorship or the ability to ask questions if you need to.
People want to see impact in more ways than just how many scientific papers did you publish where you were the first author. So we want to start to look at what is the importance of their impact beyond just the science. That's obviously the gold standard. But Did you engage with students? Did you engage with public agencies? Did you really unlock and enable other scientists to succeed? And again, it's kind of building on that culture.
I would like to thank Colin Reed for helping to arrange my visit and to all those who participated in this piece. Amy April, Aaron Fischel, Jonathan Howland, Stephanie Mattson, Danielle Fino, Colin Ward, and Aaron Mooney. If you'd like to hear this again, read the transcript, or see pictures of the participants, come to denver-frederick.com, where we'll have a link to my full interview with Mark Abbott, the president of the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.